For the Lord is faithful. Amen.
Amen.
I'm thankful to God. I stand up here this morning representing a God who has always been faithful. And it's a blessing to come to a meeting like this as married couples. And all of us know, don't we? We need the Lord's help. And He is able to help us. It is such a joy to be here. I want to thank Pastor and Mrs. Sexton for the invitation. And even more, I want to thank them for their investment in our lives. And not only our lives, but our children's lives and so many of our church members and friends' lives. And we're eternally grateful to them. And then I want to thank you for being here. And you don't know what an encouragement it is to a preacher to see this many people that are understanding the need to invest in your marriage. And there's hope when we look to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm so encouraged to be here. Carol and I have had a great time just seeing some of our friends and enjoying being together with you, and look forward to all God's going to do. I've had several requests from men that I would preach today on wives submit to your husbands. Now, you men know who you are, and if you don't stand with me, I'm going to call you out. Amen? And so I had that sermon all ready to go. I had the text, I had the title, I had the outline, and Carolyn told me I couldn't preach it. So I submitted. And we weren't married on the 4th of July, but let me tell you, I married a firecracker. Amen. And how many of you men agree with me in that? Yeah. And we know God has blessed me with a wonderful wife. And we celebrated 24 years last January and four wonderful children. We have a 21-year-old son, David, who's a senior here at Crown College. And we have a 19-year-old daughter, Victoria, who's a freshman here at Crown. And then we have a 15-year-old daughter, Madeline, who's a freshman in high school at our Christian school. And then we have a 5-year-old son named Nathan in kindergarten. Would you please pray for us? Amen. And we're loving life. We're enjoying serving the Lord. And it's a great, great joy to be here. You know, men and women are so different. And we have so much to learn about the Lord and about each other. We need God's help in that. And I heard about a language teacher, a teacher of the French language actually, was teaching the class and explaining that in the French language, there's only male and female, or there's no neuter pronouns. And so everything's male or female, even inanimate objects. And so she gave the class a project, and she split them up, men on one side, women on the other side, and she gave them an inanimate object to work on, and it was a computer. And she said, I want you to determine if a computer should be male or if it should be female, and give some reasons why. So once the project was done, the leader of the men's group stood up and said, we men have decided that the computer should be rendered female. And so the teacher asked why, and the man said, well, number one, no one but their creator understands their internal logic. Number two, the native language they use to communicate with other computers is incomprehensible to any other living human being. Number three, even the smallest mistakes are stored in long-term memory for possible later retrieval when needed. And number four, the computer should be female because as soon as you commit to one, you find yourself spending half your paycheck buying accessories for it. And then it was the lady's turn. And the head lady stood up and she said, oh no, we've decided the computer should be a male. All right, tell us the reasons why. She says, well, number one, if you leave them alone for a few minutes, they go to sleep. I think the ladies won. Number two, it should be a male because they have a lot of data, but they're still clueless. Number three, they're designed to solve problems, but half the time they are the problem. And this one's my favorite. Number four, it should be a male because as soon as you commit to one, you realize that if you'd waited a little longer, you could have got a better model. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Satterfield, thank you for that message last night. And Thomas and I came into Crown together, graduated together, went through all classes together. And thankful for the Lord's work in your life. Praying for you, Brother Plowman, tonight. And Brother Thomas, I've got a car I need you to pray over later today. And it's going to need a brake job, and we're going to pray over it. But if you'll take the Word of God with me this morning, and let's open up to the book of Psalms in chapter 16. The 16th Psalm together. I'm thankful for the theme of this particular session that the Lord laid on Pastor Sexton's heart and that we're going to address today. Psalm 16, it's a beautiful psalm. I want to take the time to read it. There's 11 verses. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 1, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." I call your attention back to a very familiar verse, verse number 6. We'll take this as the text this morning. "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." The songwriter wrote, "I may not have riches as some others may, but I have a mother who knows how to pray. There may be some things I missed in my youth, but I have a father who stands for the truth. I have a goodly heritage. I'm blessed with things you can't see. I have a goodly heritage, and that is worth far more to me." If anybody could stand before you this morning and say those words, "I have a goodly heritage," it is me. I am indebted today to the Lord for the heritage that He allowed me to have. I was privileged and blessed of God to be born into a godly home. Pastor Sexton talked a little bit about my parents and my dad. And I think about that. You know, you don't choose your parents. God chooses that for you. And God gives us what we need to prepare us for what He has for our lives. God knew that I needed good parents to help me. And God gave me a treasure in my mom and dad. Faithful. A faithful man, my dad was. A faithful lady, my mom is. A godly Christian, both of them. Last night, the gentleman here, we got to meet last night, talked this morning again. He walked up to me over here in this corner, and he shook my hand, and he said, "Are you Jim Odom's son?" And I always love to hear that. I hear that often. "Are you Jim Odom's son?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he began to talk about how when he was a boy in Daytona Beach, Florida, his pastor and my dad were friends, and they had kind of cross-state fellowship, and they had Sunday school campaigns and just a lot of fun with that. And my dad preached at this man's church when he was a boy, and the Lord used him to touch his life. I thank God for the heritage that I have. I grew up in a home that loved the Lord, and my sisters, I have two sisters, one's in heaven now, and I was the youngest, and I survived that, amen? How many babies we got in here? You're the youngest. We survived it, amen. But my sisters and I, we were given a goodly heritage. We were raised up in a Bible-believing home and in a Bible-believing church. I mean the Seagate Baptist Church, the church I grew up in. It was, and it is, by the way, it is on fire for God. I grew up in a church where the Bible was taught and preached, or my dad preached faithfully and served God and sought to win souls. And some of you have heard Brother Tom Sexton tell that story about the night he surrendered his life. And you might remember him talking about wearing a lime green leisure suit that he bought. And he had a lime green, he wasn't saved very long, you didn't know yet, but he had a lime green Good News for Modern Men Bible. And he said the church he got saved in didn't say amen, they grunted. And he tells that story, you know. And he came to that church that night, and that guest speaker was preaching, and they were shouting, and he said he was standing up on the front row saying amen. Well, that was my church. That's the church my dad pastored. That's the church I grew up in. That's the heritage that God blessed me to have, and I thank God for that. I thank God for a goodly heritage. Psalm 16 is a generational psalm, and I'm thankful for the emphasis of this meeting, and I'm thankful for the emphasis of the fact that we all have a heritage given to us. We all should be not only receiving that heritage, but giving it. And many of us in this room have been blessed to have children. Or perhaps you will have children, or even some with grandchildren. And I ask you today, what have you received of the Lord, and what will you give? What will you leave behind? What will you pass along? The psalm is a generational psalm. We find the word heritage in verse 6. If you look again in verse 6, it says at the end there, I have a goodly heritage. I want you to mark that word heritage. We find in verse 5 the word inheritance. And these two words are connected, and I would encourage you to connect them in the Bible text. And they are connected in Scripture. A heritage is an inheritance. It is something that is given to us. It is something that is passed down. And we have received much, and we must give much. The psalmist here and the Holy Spirit through David gives us so much about our heritage. Number one, if you're taking notes, jot this down. Notice with me in this text, the Lord of our heritage. The Lord of our heritage. We find here with a careful study of this particular psalm that our heritage is not just wrapped up in something. Our heritage is literally someone. I want you to look again in verse number 5. The Bible makes it clear here and in many other places. And it says here, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Our heritage is not just from the Lord. Our heritage is not just about the Lord. Our heritage is not just for the Lord. But our heritage is the Lord. Oh, in the days of Moses, God spoke through Moses about the priest. And in Numbers 18, verse 20, he said to the priest there, I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Alexander McLaren said of that verse, every godly man has the same possession and the same prohibitions as the priest had. Like them, we are landless, and instead of estates, we have Jehovah. The Lord is our inheritance. The psalmist said here in chapter 16, verse 5, the Lord is the portion of our inheritance. The apostle Paul said it this way in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In Colossians 3:4, Paul said, when Christ, who is our life. Oh, listen, folks, our life is not just about Christ. Our life is Christ. Christ is our life, our marriage, our children. Everything that we do must be wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. My parents did such a good job emphasizing this truth in our lives. I remember as a boy, we used to have preachers come in. My dad loved preachers. He loved preaching. We'd go to conferences and meetings all the time, and we'd have preachers come in. And I remember when I was just a little boy, I remember having Lee Robertson preach at our church, ride in our car with us, eat with our family in our home. And I got to tell you, when I was a little boy, I literally thought Lee Robertson was Moses. I mean, I had one of these little, you know, these little elementary Bibles that had the pictures in them. And he was at our church, and I was flipping through there. And I, you know that picture of Moses parting the Red Sea? And I looked up at him, and I looked down, and I said, we've got Moses preaching at our church. And we had Tom Malone come in. I thought Tom Malone was Elijah. Amen. He preached at our church. Hey, they might be the two witnesses in Revelation 11. You know, hang on. But I love preachers. I grew up listening to preachers. I'd listen to preaching tapes at night, going to sleep at night, and loved all that. Loved my dad, loved his preaching. But I can remember my dad many times. We talk about preachers, and he always honored the man of God. He always gave them the honor they deserved. But I remember him saying to me, Tommy, we love preachers, we honor preachers, but we worship Jesus. We worship Jesus. That helped me so much. I remember him saying to me one time, he said, Tommy, Dr. Robertson's going to be gone one day. He's going to be with the Lord. Dr. Malone's not going to be with us anymore. And one day, Tommy, I'm not going to be here anymore. But Tommy, the Lord will always be with you. What a heritage. The Lord of our heritage. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Married man, married lady, this morning, how many of you know you need the Lord? He's your heritage. You have Him. If you're saved this morning, and I pray you are, you have the Lord. The same God that David wrote about is the God that we serve and we have in our marriage, and He can help us. The Lord is our heritage. The Lord of our heritage. Notice not only that, secondly, the lines of our heritage. The lines of our heritage. Verse number 5 starts off the Lord. Verse number 6 starts off the lines. Notice that, the lines. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I want you to notice that the word lines here is referring back to verse 5 where it says, thou maintainest my lot. The illustration here is a piece of property, if you will, an inheritance, a piece of land or property that is given a lot, a place to live, a place to abide. And the lines that are spoken of here continue that illustration. There's been lines drawn. There's property lines. And we are living inside that heritage of the Lord. And I thank God for those lines that have been drawn. They're Bible lines. And thank God we need to stand on the Word of God and stand on the Son of God and on the name of Jesus. And don't forsake those lines. We live in a day today, listen dear friend, where the lines are being moved. The lines of a goodly heritage, the lines of Scripture, the lines of the scriptural heritage that the people of God have been given, they've been moved, they've been shifted, and in some cases they've been removed completely. We live in a day when Bible Christianity is being redefined in many corners, but we got to return. We got to get away from these modern gurus and their interpretation of what the Christian life looks like. And we need to go back and find out what our Savior has drawn as far as lines go and live within the barriers and the boundaries of the Word of God. And may our home be obedient to that. And may our ministries be obedient to that. I thank God that I had a mom and a dad who knew how to draw some lines. I didn't always like those lines. Can I tell you something this morning? I love those lines now. There's many lines I didn't appreciate when I was a boy growing up. I didn't agree with them. I didn't like it. I bucked against it. I pushed against it. But I thank God when I pushed, they stood firm. And now I'm thankful for those lines. Those lines that were drawn in our Christian home. They delivered me from a whole lot of heartache, a whole lot of trouble. The lines have fallen into me in pleasant places. I thank God for it. My parents were strict. Praise the Lord. Don't believe this lie. Don't believe this lie that all strict parents that stand firm on the Word of God produce resentful children. Don't believe that lie. I know a lot of that happens. I know there's a lot of stories, but I'm going to tell you something. You're looking at a man this morning. I'll compare my parents to yours any day. Amen. They were strict. But you know what? I love the Lord, and I love them. And I thank God that they drew some lines. I remember we used to have a lot of evangelists come through, and we had one of these evangelists that was one of these specialists, you know. And he would expose a lot of the modern, the New Age movement, and this was back in the 80s and 90s, and he would expose a lot of the dangers of the rock and roll industry, and that was all great and dandy because that wasn't a problem. But then he got on this tangent about TV shows and cartoons. And man, me and my friends, every time that evangelist came, we thought, man, what cartoon are we going to lose this year? I mean, look, he would wax eloquent against the Smurfs and He-Man. And you go down the line, buddy. Those were crossed off. Those were outside the lines in the Odom household. My parents, I remember one time after that evangelist came through, they declared war on television. Now, we had a television in our home. There was a lot of rules around it. And you do what God leads you to do with that. But they established a 1 hour a day rule. 1 hour a day the TV could be on television in our home. And we watched it together. And my parents would let my sisters and I rotate choosing what we would watch on a particular day for that hour. But it had to be on the approved list. Amen. And we had some old, how many of you remember the old VCRs? Yeah, remember that? And so we had some of those things that were approved to watch. And I always wanted to watch something sports related or something like that. Andy Griffith, brother, amen, that's good. But my sisters, God help them, amen. I had one sister, her favorite show was Anne of Green Gables. Now let me tell you, that's a great show. I enjoyed watching Anne of Green Gables the first 50 times. But after that, Anne Shirley and Gilbert and all that other stuff, some of you know what I'm talking about. I was done with it, amen. We watched it. My other sister loved, her favorite was Sound of Music. And we'd watch it. And the hills were alive with the Sound of Music. The Von Trapps and the Nazis and all of that. I can still sing every word of it. Doe, a deer, a female deer. Come on. Ray, a drop of golden sun. See? Okay, we can stop right there. We got some fundamentalists in here. Amen. My eye starts twitching when we sing that song. I didn't understand all that growing up, but I do now. Oh, thank God. Thank God for those lines. I had an uncle, my favorite uncle, my Uncle Jerry, my dad's brother. He was saved, but let's just say he wasn't as sanctified as Dad was. Let's just say Uncle Jerry's lines weren't quite where Dad's lines were. And I loved him, and we'd get together for Christmas. And one Christmas, he'd always get me a gift, and we'd open gifts together. But he had a little bag to the side, and he kind of had it away from everybody else. And after we got done as a family, he walked over and said, Tommy, I got you something. And I went over to the side. He said, open it over here. And I opened it up, and it was a Walkman. Now, this is when they first came out with the Walkman. How many of you remember the Walkman? Remember it? We used to wear it on our hip like this big. Remember that? People would jog with these things. It looked like they had a microwave on their hip jogging down the street. It was brand new Walkman. The old cassette tapes. Remember the cassette tapes, right? We had gone past the 8 tracks and we were at the cassette tapes. And you put a cassette tape in there and it had a little radio in it. And it had the very early earphones, those old cheap earphones. Remember those? They had no sound cancellation whatsoever. Remember those? The foam earphones. And inside that bag was that Walkman. And then he says, there's something else. And inside that bag was a cassette tape of some music. Let's just say it wasn't inside the lines. I don't remember what it was. It was some love music, soft rock from the 90s. I don't know what it was. Something like that. He didn't understand that that wasn't approved. But it wasn't approved. And so we got in the car. We were driving home, and we always had sedans, and my mom and dad were up front. I always sat in the middle. I was the youngest, so I got assigned to the middle seat. Jackie was on my left, and Becky was on my right, and I'd always elbow, make sure I had my room, you know. And so I pulled out my Walkman, and I said, Mom, can I listen to some Patch the Pirate? I was lying through my teeth, amen. She said, sure. So I pull out that rock and roll tape. And I thought, what is this, you know? I put it in, close it up, push play, and I'm sitting there listening to it. And I didn't realize, those old earphones, everybody could hear what I was listening to. And I thought, I'm fooling them. They think I'm listening to Patch the Pirate, Banana Man, whatever, you know. And I'm listening to this, and all of a sudden, the long arm of the law. Not my dad, my mom. My mother has the longest arms. My mother's arm could reach that back row right over there. The long arm of the law. I don't think I was looking because it caught me by surprise. And she slapped those earphones off my head, grabbed that. She said, "What are you listening to?" She opened that thing up. She began to pull the tape out of the cassette tape. I thought, what's the big deal? Oh, thank God for lines. Thank God for the lines. I'm not talking about, listen, in all seriousness, I'm not talking about just some man-made standards outside of Scripture. But I am saying that we need to stand once again upon this book right here and not be ashamed of the lines of our heritage that God has given us, and to stand on this book. And as the shifting sands of time change, and as culture changes, and as society changes, God changes not. The lines. The Lord of our heritage, the lines of our heritage. Lastly, let me give you this thought, the lasting of our heritage. The lasting of our heritage. I want you to notice with me back in the psalm, he speaks about the Lord in verse 5 and the lines in verse 6. And then I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 8. The Bible says, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand." Isn't that good? The Lord is before me, and he's beside me. And he's within me, and he's above me. The Lord is there. Look at the end of verse 8. "I shall not be moved." Would you underline that in your Bible? Would you mark that in your Bible? Would you let that get a hold of your heart this morning? I shall not be moved. So many things trying to move us, to cause us to shift from what we've been given. I shall not be moved. The lasting of our heritage. You know, Psalm 100, verse 5 ends like this. Psalm 100 ends like this. "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." You know what? The same thing that I receive from my parents, I need to give to my children. And my prayer is that when, if the Lord doesn't come back and I'm dead and gone, my children will pass the same heritage, the same love of God, the same love of the Word of God to their children. Oh, we've got to see the work continue. You know, Brother Thomas, Brother Satterfield was preaching last night, and he was preaching in Joshua, and my heart thought about that passage in Judges. Judges chapter 2, I think it's verse 10, it says, "There arose a generation that knew not the Lord, neither the mighty works which he had done." Isn't that a sad verse? Sad verse. The children of one of the greatest leaders in Israel's history, Joshua, did not know the Lord. Did not know. Look, somewhere along the line, the baton wasn't passed like it should have been. The heritage wasn't given. I was with Dr. Charles Keene a while back, and he made this statement. He said, "Moses had a Joshua, so we have the book of Joshua. But Joshua didn't have a Joshua, so we have the book of Judges." I said, "Say that again." What a profound statement. We need a Joshua. We need somebody as a Moses passing on the truth of God to the next generation. Oh, may God help us to not only stand in our heritage, but pass it on. Pass it on to someone else. Oh, what have you received? What will you give? You know why? You know why our heritage will endure and can endure? Let me tell you why. I can't leave Psalm 16 without this. We can't leave it without this. This is one of the great messianic psalms. Amen? The Lord is in clear view all through this psalm. But don't miss this. Look at this with me. Notice in verse number 10, David writing here says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." And no doubt David here was writing beyond himself. He was writing beyond his own understanding, and perhaps he was even thinking of himself. But he wrote here prophetically of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, when Peter stood at Pentecost and preached in Acts chapter 2, down there, verses 25 through 31 in that area, he quoted this very passage, and he said, when David wrote about that, he was writing about the Lord Jesus, who would rise again from the dead. You know why we can live in our heritage and pass it on and live in victory? Because we serve a risen Savior. That's why. The songwriter wrote, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." My dad passed away last summer. Some of you knew that. I appreciate your prayers for us and our family. It was in June, and Dad's heart just wore out. He had heart issues and health issues with his heart for the last 35 years of his life. And his heart finally just wore out. The doctors did all they could for him, and he knew that his time on earth was drawing nigh, and that was a blessing that God gave us, that we were able to be with him. And we gathered, our family gathered in the hospital around his bed in those final days. I haven't talked about this much. It's a precious time, sacred time. Dad said so many wonderful things to me and my sister, my living sister, and his grandchildren in those hours and in those days. One night I was in there with my mom and dad. We were talking. And I was holding dad's left hand, and mom was on the other side, and she was holding his right hand. And at the end, my dad's voice, he had vocal cord issues at the end. His body was failing him, and he could hardly talk. Pastor Sexton, I think you talked to him on the phone there toward the end. He could just whisper. And he was laying there with such peace. He had such peace. It was wonderful. It was a blessing. And he would look up at us, and he would say, "Don't cry. Don't cry. I'm going to be with the Lord." His faith was so strong. And he squeezed my hand and he said, "Come here." And I leaned down and he said, "Hey." And he said these two things to me. He said, "Enjoy your life. Enjoy your life. Love your family. Enjoy your life." And then he said this. He said, "Stay faithful, son." Stay faithful. You know what that is? That's a goodly heritage. May God help us all to stay faithful. May God help us to